for prayer. You may be stunned by his surprising answer.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It comes from our website where a listener would like to know, if God is all-powerful, if, as the psalmist says, he does whatever he pleases, what do you make of 2 Peter 3:9? That's where it says, God isn't willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Well, if the psalmist is right, if God is all-powerful and he always gets what he wants, how can that verse be true?
That's a very good question, Denny. It's asked frequently. It is also a good place to point out the importance of context. When Peter says God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, what any and what all is he talking about? Well, if you back up to the verse before, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us. Who is us? But beloved, he says in the prior verse. So he's talking to believers. He starts the chapter, beloved. He repeats, beloved. Then he says, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The any and the all are the us who are the beloved. In other words, consistent with the doctrine of sovereign election and God's purpose to save his chosen people, God will not allow any of his people to perish, any of his elect, but all whom he loves, upon whom he has set his love, will come to repentance, and he will fulfill his promise to his own. That's what that verse is saying, and his power does that.
All right, thanks, John, and thanks to you for listening today to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like to submit your question, visit us at MacArthurCommentaries.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Hi, this is Robert Jeffries, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm thrilled to invite you to this year's Faith and Freedom Forum at North Jacksonville Baptist Church on Tuesday, April 2nd. Join other local pastors and church leaders as we gather in community and learn how together we can defend our religious liberty. I look forward to seeing you there.
Tuesday, April 2nd at North Jacksonville Baptist Church, the Faith and Freedom Forum. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours today at faithfreedomforum.com.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to SWAT Radio on Friday, March 22nd. I'm David Gray, along with my friend Craig Henderson, sitting in today for Brad Sykes, who's been traveling this week. Craig, always good to have you here, brother.
David, it's great to be here. You know, I always enjoy being able to help out whenever I'm asked, and I love doing SWAT Radio with you.
Yeah, well, it's always good to see you. We were fortunate enough to see each other yesterday morning at our SWAT group. It's been a little while. I've been traveling. I haven't seen you for a few weeks, so always good to be with you. Why don't you, I know we talked about before we came on, why don't you go ahead and give folks the information they need to know about SWAT Radio.
Yeah, SWAT Radio. We also always welcome calls, or if you have questions or comments, you can email. If you're going to call in, dial 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or if you ever want to email in a question, you can write, send us in at ask@swatradio.com. Yeah. ask@swatradio.com. And SWAT Radio is carried right now live in Jacksonville on 91.7, in St. Augustine at 91.9 FM, Folkestone, Georgia at 89.3, in WMOX and WMER in Meridian, Mississippi, and at the Lighthouse in Virginia Beach.
Yep, and we have a lot of people also we know that listen on SWATradio.com or listen via the SWAT Radio app. As you were reading that, remember the old introduction to Jim McKay's voice on Wide World of Sports, spanning the globe. as you were reading all those outlets, I was thinking spanning the globe. I heard Jim McKay's voice in my head.
There you go.
Now, for those of you who may have listened yesterday, Doug called. Wasn't aware of this until we got in here today, but Doug called right before we came on the air and reminded us that there were some technical problems yesterday, so wanted to apologize for those. And I know folks, Jeremy and Don, who are so faithful here to help us out and produce the show, were in here working on some of the equipment before we came on. So hopefully we're going to have a technically sound show today. And again, sorry about whatever happened yesterday.
But a clean sheet of a radio program,
a clean
right?
sheet, that's right. And, you know, for those of you who might be new to SWAT Radio, you can, we say this a lot, you can go to SWATradio.com. SWAT Radio came out of SWAT Bible studies that Doug has started more than a dozen years ago here in the Jacksonville area. There's five studies each week, and you can go to SWATradio.com for those locations and times. If you are not part of a men's Bible study group and would like to be, we would love to have you. And our group, the one that Craig and I attend, is Thursday mornings at 6:15 a.m. So we are an early starting group here at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food on Belfort Road. We're in the same building or same complex as the Wounded Warrior Project.
That's right.
And we'd love to have you if you're interested in coming. So, Craig, before we, you know, usually in the first 15 minutes, we talk about things going on in the world and look at them from a Christian worldview. Although sometimes, especially on Fridays, there was a time where Brad was trying to do nothing but good news Fridays, just good news stories on Fridays. So maybe we try to keep it a little lighter in the first 15 minutes on Fridays. But you and I haven't had a chance to talk. I know Doug and I talked about it a little bit, but quite a players championship here this past weekend in the Jacksonville area. And I know you're a big golf fan.
My goodness. Yeah. Actually, I had the privilege of being out there on Sunday and getting a chance to watch some of the play take place. And boy, you know, I mean, obviously Scottie Scheffler is, he's a fan favorite.
Yep.
And you know, his beliefs and focus, if anybody watched the TV show, was
the
it Full Swing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a dramatic comparison they used when they had him as on one side and oh gosh, I can't remember who the other guy was.
Was it Koepka?
Koepka, yeah. Brooks Koepka, yeah. Yeah. But Scottie did great, and it was fun watching the come down to that final putt by
Now, were you there
Wyndham
at
Clark.
18?
I was not at 18. Okay. We were on 16 and
yep.
17.
Yep.
And when they finally, when Wyndham Clark made the birdie. Nobody really makes birdies on 18 very often. So
right.
we thought once they missed the birdies on 16 and he made his birdie to get one behind
yep.
on 17. We're like, okay, it's,
yeah,
Scottie's got it. But boy,
I have never seen. For those of you who might not know, Scottie Scheffler had a few stroke lead over Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark came to 16. I think he was at least two down, maybe three down. And he birdied 16, had an eagle putt that almost went in.
Yeah.
Birdied 17, only the fourth birdie of the day. And he was in the last group, only the fourth birdie of the day on 17. And then had a birdie putt lip out on 18 that is, I think it's the worst lip out I've ever
seen.
It
did a complete 180.
And that ball was 3/4 of the ball disappeared below the rim of the cup.
It was all around and came out and went back at him.
Yeah. Anyway, my son was there with my grandson, and they were about 50 yards from the 18th green watching, and he couldn't really see the hole that well, but he was watching Wyndham Clark's body language. And just, I'm a Scheffler fan and very happy that Scheffler won. But you got to feel for Wyndham Clark as well. I mean, what a great story it would have been if he had birdied 16, 17, and 18 to tie Scheffler and then force a playoff. So,
wow.
And you said you were on 16. I don't know if you saw this, but they showed a video of all the fans that stayed on 17 because the playoff would have started back on 17.
That's right.
And they were all hoping Clark made the putt so that they would have a playoff and have more similar to Ricky Fowler when he won a few years back. Played 17 about three times in the playoff, I think. So anyway, it was a fun weekend that my grandson is going to turn 6 in a couple of weeks, and he loves golf. Just has long story about how it happened, but he just loves, you know, he argues with his younger sister when she wants to watch a kid's show, he wants to watch golf. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I saw him after they were out at the tournament, and my son had said it was, they had a good time, but he's still a little young. He had told my son, I want to watch it on TV once they were out there. But I asked him afterwards, I said, did you see any golfers that you knew? And he said, I had an ice cream sandwich. So I said, well, that's
what's really important.
Yeah, that's the right answer for a 5-year-old at the golf tournament. But anyway, it was a great week by all accounts. I know another friend of mine was out there for the Military Appreciation Night on Tuesday, and I know they do a great job with honoring the military and veterans, and they had a concert out there. I think that all was really great.
Yeah, they really make it. It's not just a 4-day event now. It's it's pretty much a week long from like Tuesday through Sunday.
Yep.
You know, and that's just fantastic what that's they do, and the course is in fantastic shape. It's just really a great venue.
I didn't go this year for a variety of reasons. I usually go at least to a practice round, but it looked tremendous on TV.
It was.
Looked so good on TV.
And weather was good the whole time.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was great.
We've got the NCAA tournament starting. Are you a basketball fan, an NCAA tournament fan?
Good thing I didn't have Kentucky in one of my brackets, huh?
A lot of brackets busted last night.
Wow.
For sure. I saw the end of that game, and the coach for Oakland and the Oakland College or University, they're in Michigan. They're not that's not Oakland, California,
yeah.
But this guy's been coaching at Oakland for 40 years. And a kid on his team last night made 10 three-pointers.
Yeah.
I think the record is 11, but he made 10. And he's been there so long that he has got a kid on the team whose father was on the team. He coached this kid's father X number of years ago. So
wow.
He's been there that long. And, yeah, that was quite a finish. And Kansas got a tremendous scare. I think Kansas was playing Samford University. Which
oh, yeah, out of Birmingham.
In Birmingham.
Yeah.
And Samford was one down with not much time to play, and a kid for Kansas was going in for a breakaway layup or dunk, and the kid from Samford made a tremendous defensive play coming from behind, clean block. The ball would have, you know, Samford was right there to collect it, and gone back the other way with a chance to win the game, and they called a foul.
Oh.
And Kansas wound up winning by 4, but a lot of upset Samford fans this way. And I've seen the replay, and it was bang, bang, but it was a clean block, and it was a fantastic play, and you hate to see a game when a kid makes a great play like that, decided like that. But referees are human. That's part of the game, and I'm surprised. I guess college basketball doesn't have the same review rules that the NBA does, but...
Yeah. Well, that is what makes March Madness just fantastic, because you're watching early rounds and it would be people like, who cares?
Yeah.
And then in basketball particularly,
boy,
a 3-point shooter gets hot.
Yep.
You know,
I think,
plays great team ball and all of a sudden it's different.
Yep. Wow. I think back to the days of, St. Peter's and some of these small schools, you know, upsetting the big schools and, something like that always happens.
It does.
So you can point to Kentucky and Oakland
last
night as that kind of an upset. I think what happens is some of these mid-major schools, they have players that stay there for 4 years. And so they have experience. And even though they're not the big-name schools, you could take a Kentucky and they might have a bunch of freshmen or kids that are only planning to stay for a year or two and just don't have the experience that these other schools have. So.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, that it really is, as they play together, you get to know each other, strengths, weaknesses, and you play as a team, all five, not just like a hot shot, one or two kind
of
thing.
That's right. Hey, I know we want to get this in. I know we were talking before we came on. You're a big proponent for and advocate for, and you're involved in ministry at the City Rescue Mission here in Jacksonville. And I know that you were telling me a great story about the chapel down there prior to us coming on. And so we wanted to kind of put City Rescue Mission a little bit in the spotlight here, have you tell this story, and also just remind people at the end about how they can support City Rescue. But why don't you tell the folks what you were telling me before we came on.
So at their McDuff Avenue campus, there is a chapel, and it's been used by a variety of different churches over the years that have used it like to form and get started and stuff and things like that. And so it was probably back in, I think, the end of last year, 2023, the church that was in there had grown or whatever, decided to move out to another location. And so then the chapel was essentially empty. And it's one of those things kind of happened pretty quickly. And then the staff at the City Rescue Mission, like that next week, came in, and like on Sunday, there are people knocking on the door on McDuff Avenue wanting to know, like, where's the church? When's what time's the church meeting? And so the staff has started meeting there and actually has formed Mission Church in the in that location that now serves all the residents of City Rescue Mission plus people in the Lackawanna community, which is a really area of deep, deep need.
That's great.
And so it's a fantastic organization. As a matter of fact, Doug spoke there, was the speaker this past Sunday. He's gotten on the speaking circuit with them and got him connected there. And
that's great.
Couple of guys that a longtime friend of Doug's, a guy named Jonathan Balaam. A shout out to him. He's graduating from City Rescue Mission next week and knew Doug when his son was playing high school and actually has a City Rescue SWAT T-shirt. I saw it. He showed it. He was wearing it one day when I came, and I'm like, you know what's no? You've got went to SWAT. He goes, yeah, I know Doug.
That's great. Yeah, and for those of you that aren't familiar with City Rescue, it's more than just a homeless shelter.
Oh, absolutely.
They and you can. You can expand on this more than me, but they really have a program for folks where they, like you said, this person graduated from City Rescue, and they have a real program that is intended to help people.
It's an 18-month program, Life Builders. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. The only way you transform your life and solve a lot of the problems that lead to addiction is through a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And that's their focus.
That's great. And just as a reminder, you can find City Rescue on the website. I'm assuming it's cityrescue.com or
it's crmjax.org.
crmjax.org. If you're interested in finding out more or supporting them, they do a lot at Easter as well in terms of Easter meals and things like that, and they can always use our help.
So yes.
We are going to take our first break of the day and come back and put a wrap on this week's lesson from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34, about the three parables that Doug's been teaching on this week. We're glad you're with us. Stay with us through the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928. Or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit neflchristianchamber.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Craig Henderson, glad you're with us as we are wrapping up the week here on SWAT Radio and reviewing Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34. That Doug titled Unstoppable this week. That was the title of the lesson. Three short parables by Jesus that talk about our responsibility in scattering the seed or spreading the message of the gospel, God's responsibility in growing the seed, growing the message in people, growing faith in people, and then how the kingdom of God has expanded and continues to expand in an unstoppable way. So on Fridays, for those of you who haven't listened for a while or are here for the first time, we tend to try to do things a little bit differently. We take the text that's been taught on during the week, and rather than go through all the teaching points, we try to look at it from the standpoint of three questions, as Brad and I started this a while back. But and the intent is maybe to model how you can study the scripture individually. This is just one way to do it. But also how you can maybe, if you're discipling someone and you're both going to read a particular passage and then get back together to discuss it or talk about it, you can, I guess discussing and talking about it are the same thing. but you can maybe use these questions as a guide. And the questions are to look at the passage and then ask and answer the questions. You know, what jumps out at you about the passage? What does the passage teach us about God? What does it teach us about ourselves or about people in general? Always good to look at what it teaches us about ourselves individually and specifically. And then also, and finally, and most importantly, maybe, what does the passage inspire in us, if you will? The so what question. How can we live differently and how can we act differently? How can we minister differently as a result of being in a particular passage of God's word? You know, Hebrews tells us that the word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, and able to transform us. Ultimately, God is transforming us into the image of Jesus, and his word is the primary way in which he does that, right? By his spirit. So anyway, and in the beginning of Mark chapter 4, just by way of quick review, Mark 4, 1-20 is the parable of the sower. And Doug pointed out that parable, Jesus himself said, if we don't understand that parable, it's going to be very difficult for us to understand any of the other parables. But the parable of the sower, where the seed falls on different types of soil, and the reminder for us that we are to prepare our hearts as believers in Christ, as followers of Jesus, we are the good soil. But it's important for us to prepare our hearts, or else elements of those other types of soil can creep in, right? Because we're still fallen and flawed, and I know in my life I can let elements of the rocky, the thorny, and the hard soil kind of creep in. And I love the verse, Jeremiah 4:3, that Doug referenced about breaking up the fallow ground of our hearts.
Yeah, it's such a great reminder that frankly, our hearts are never always the good soil. You know, the reality of life is we get drawn into different things, and I struggle at times with different parts of my life, and that's what I like about this parable is, you know, I can really look at this parable and see times of my life when I was the soil with the weeds, mm-hmm. where the weeds were,
mm-hmm.
yep. or as hard,
yeah.
or as rocky, you know, and things that would really... And it causes me really to stay focused on God's word
yeah.
in the midst of that.
You know, Doug and I were talking about this a little during the week, and I said something similar, and Doug reminded me, and I'm so this is Doug reminding you through me, not me reminding you, Craig, that that we are the good soil in the sense that we're elect. We belong to him. We'll never fall out of his hand. But to your point and to the one I was trying to make, elements or characteristics of the other types of soil can so easily creep into our life. But it doesn't mean that we stop being the good soil, but it means that because of the cares of life, because of our own sinful nature, or the old nature, because of our flaws and failures and sin, right? We can be rocky ground. We can have, you know, we can act like we're the rocky soil. We can act like we're the thorny or hard soil. And I'm convicted when I read this and read that verse about breaking up the fallow ground of your heart, that how often I do, whether it's going to church or going to SWAT or going to some study opportunity where I haven't read the passage beforehand, or Doug is so good about sending out to those who go to SWAT Bible studies an email each week, and you're great about it with our group, saying here's the passage we're focusing on, and think about, read the passage and think about these questions before we meet.
Yeah.
And when I do that, God is so faithful, it never fails that I get so much more out of it. And I'm so much more understanding when I do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, that really kind of, for me, this in this little section, you know, where he talks about, goes back, what does this particular scripture teach me? It is that I have to be vigilant. I know myself well enough to know that I can get lazy or what, and like, you know, whatever, I don't need to spend time in the Word today or whatever. And then that comes back. It comes around.
Yeah.
You know, and how I live, how I act, the words I say are all part of being a fertile soil.
Absolutely. Yep. And I can be distracted. I can let the cares of the world, especially material things and worries about the world, creep in and choke out, just like the thorns do here, choke out my desire to be in the scriptures and to be with God. And, you know, just as an aside, and I've probably talked about this before, when we went to Israel with Doug, the bus kind of pulled off the side of the road and we traipsed over a guardrail and up this muddy path, but we were in these Nahala fields. That's what they're called. I think I got that pronunciation right. And Doug taught on this parable of the sower in the actual fields that are passed down from generation to generation. And you see the thorn bushes, you see the rocks, you see all the elements that go into the parable. And again, as an aside, Doug pointed out that the gorse bushes that have the thorns on them, those were probably the type of bushes that God caught the ram in when he provided the sacrifice in place of Isaac. But it was so powerful to see all that and see that Jesus always taught in parables, and he used elements in parables that people would have seen every day in their everyday lives. Wine presses and millstones and watchtowers and vineyards, right? All those things people would have seen on a regular basis. So anyway,
that's powerful.
The reminder that's the background of Mark 4, 1 to 20, as we head into these three short parables, one of which is kind of similar to the parable of the sower.
It has
to do with sowing seeds.
Yeah.
So I think I've given you enough time here, left you enough time to read the passage. Sometimes I ask Craig to read too late in the segment, and he's speed reading. But Craig, why don't you go ahead and read Mark 4, 21 to 34.
Beginning in verse 21, and he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then in verse 26, the next parable. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself the blade first, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And then in verse 30, the last parable. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. With many parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the God, word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Craig. I appreciate that. Well, we've got just a couple minutes here before our break at the bottom of the hour, but we can start our discussion on, there's so much here. These are three great parables, but starting with the question of kind of what jumps out at us. And I kind of broke my what jumps out down by parable.
I tried
to do it by parable, but anything in particular that jumps out at you in that first one?
I think in the first one, it's probably that the last portion there. It says, you know, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And it's, I think for me, it's striking that, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, when we're listening to something, you know, we may not focus on it or take it seriously or listen to it. And I think it's when it's the word of God, this really says, listen to what it's telling you. Listen to what it's saying to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That phrase, anyone who has an ear, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that. Pay attention.
Yeah, exactly right.
Pay attention. This is important. Just kind of like when he would say, truly, 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 right? Look, I'm telling you three times.
Yeah.
Better listen to this.
Perk up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, we're going to continue our discussion on these parables when we come back after the bottom of the hour. We're going to break for the news. Give us a call at 844-777-7928 if you have a comment or a question. And we'll be right back on SWAT Radio.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Russia and China vetoing a U.S.-sponsored U.N. resolution calling for an immediate and sustained ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. The resolution to protect civilians and enable humanitarian aid to be delivered. Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., says most council members were behind the effort.
Once again, Russia put politics over progress. Russia, who has carried out an unprovoked war on its neighbor, has the audacity and the hypocrisy to throw stones when it lives in a glass house itself.
That audio courtesy of the BBC. Russia, China, and Algeria, the Arab representative on the council voting against the resolution. Also at SRNnews.com, the Senate, the next stop for a government funding bill after it passed in the House this morning. Bob Agnew reports.
The bill provides funding for six key departments of government. Final passage will mean avoiding a government shutdown and allow lawmakers in both chambers to leave Washington to start their two-week Easter recess. The bill remains unpopular with a minority of fiscal conservatives in both the House and Senate, opposing its $1.2 trillion price tag. Bob Agnew reporting.
Winter is not over yet in parts of the country.
The calendar says spring, but don't tell that to folks in the Midwest and Northeast. Parts of Montana, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin are under winter weather advisories. Minnesota could see a foot of snow over the weekend, and some New England states could also see 12 to 18 inches in the coming days.
Correspondent Greg Clugston with that report. On Wall Street, the Dow is losing 197 points, but the NASDAQ is ahead 40 points now. This is SRN News.
Let's see. If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month. And that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
There's major delays because of a crash on I-95 northbound between Lem Turner Road and Gulf Air Boulevard, blocking two right lanes. Also, there's an accident on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at the ramp to Blanding Boulevard, blocking the off-ramp left lane, and two right lanes are blocked as well. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 64. Saturday, partly sunny, high 78. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody.
Back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Craig Henderson, as we wrap up the week here on SWAT Radio, looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34, the parable of the sower, the parable of a lamp under the basket, the parable of the seed growing, and the parable of the mustard seed are kind of the subheadings for that passage. And we were just starting to talk about what stands out to us in the parable of the lamp under a basket. And couple things for me, and you and I were talking about this during the break, Craig. I'm glad Doug taught on this and expanded on this a little bit, because the verse 22 where it says, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." I'm not sure I ever fully understood, you know, what Jesus meant by that, but the idea being that this parable is about, first for the disciples and now for us as his followers, spreading the gospel. And telling people about Jesus. And what he's saying here is essentially, if I have it right, is, look, I'm not teaching you this for you to hide it, hoard it to yourselves.
That's right.
This was a mystery in the past, right? But it was never intended to stay a mystery, the mystery of Jesus, right? It was never, he's now been revealed as Messiah. And it's now intended for the message about him to be spread. So what was previously hidden is now revealed in him. And I think that's what he's saying there.
To sort of join in with that, because actually one of the things I was reading as I was preparing for this earlier was that when it says, you know, the term brought in is, you know, when they translate it from the original, from the Greek, it actually normally refers to a person, which would mean he's talking about, you know, is a lamp brought in, but it's, he's talking about that they would understand it as a person being the lamp. Which is Christ, which fits right with what you're talking about.
Yep, that's great. And then kind of the obvious thing, I was convicted in this parable about the fact that that we've been talking about euangelion and the rule and reign of Christ here as we've got into Mark, and this idea that the gospel is so much bigger than just Jesus died on the cross for my sins, which is a hugely important part of it.
Right.
But he did that so that we can be subjects in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Because we can't be subjects unless we're forgiven, unless we are sinless and not guilty in God's sight. And we are only because of the work of Jesus and through faith in Jesus. And so we're brought in to the kingdom to have a role. God is so gracious that he gives us a role in the kingdom. I've heard people say, well, why doesn't God just take us to heaven when he saves us? And it's because he has a job for us.
That's exactly right. God commissioned us to be his ambassadors.
That's right. And so this parable saying, look, I did all this for you so that you can reflect the light of Christ to the world. Doug always says, put God on display, which I love that phrase. And am I doing that?
Yeah.
You know, how am I doing with that? And like anything else in the Christian life, right? Sometimes it's up and down with me, but it's a great reminder to persevere in that and to be conscious of it and to be aware of it. And I love the analogy, and people have probably heard it a million times before, but the moon is not the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. And in a similar way, we are to reflect Jesus light, right? But we are lights, right? People see us and they see the truth of Jesus in us. And so anyway, that really stood out to me as a convicting aspect of that parable. And also that as we do that, God, as we learn spiritual truth, and we pay attention to it and we apply it, he gives us more.
The key is applying it, yeah. Right? It's great that you can sit there on a Sunday morning and listen to a great sermon and hear things, but if you walk right out and it doesn't actually transform or change what we do or how we act, we're that person that it's the measure with which we use.
Yeah, yeah. And then the ending of that parable, but you know, to those who have not, even what he has will be taken away. This idea that without Jesus, whatever understanding, like in this case, the Jews may have had of the Old Testament, they'll lose even that because they don't understand that it's talking about Jesus and they don't believe that it's talking about Jesus. So even any understanding of the Old Testament will eventually be taken away. And that's sobering.
Yeah. And that, sobering. It is. And it's one of the magnificent ways of using parables, because to each listener, it's got different points that it's going to bring to that person's life.
Yep. That's right. Well, what about the parable of the seed growing? Anything in particular?
Well, I think the first thing that just jumped out to me was that the way that it was phrased, it was if a man should scatter seed on the ground. And I thought it was just so, that's such nobody puts seed. I mean, you just don't go scatter it. You know, it just sounds so random. And so it was, that really stuck out to me about how, you know, it just doesn't sound purposeful. You know, and I always sort of, and this is my Western thought process, is I always think about, you know, things kind of purposefully. How do I go about doing X, Y, and Z?
Right.
And yet I think, and this is really the fact that this is where God does the work, you know, 'cause the man, he just threw it out there and then gets up and goes to sleep and gets up and goes to sleep. And what happens?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's what that stands out to me as well, is that, and I like the way Doug put this, right? The pressure's off for us.
That's yeah,
the meaning
that's right.
of the parable, that we are responsible to scatter, but God is responsible to make it grow. And we don't know exactly how that happens. I, you know, we've talked about this on SWAT Radio before, but, and I'm not, this is not a program today about election or predestination. But this idea that if God has elected people, which I believe Scripture teaches that he has, and we believe because he elected us, then why do we bother evangelizing? Why do we bother scattering, right? Why do we spread the seed if God already knows?
Right.
And the answer is, well, first of all, it's because he commanded us to do
that.
That's
our answer, exactly.
And this
right.
is the means by which he kind of brings the elect in. But also, we don't know who the elect are. We have to assume that everybody possibly is, right?
Yeah, and
so we do this, we scatter, to your point, but that God does the work of the growth.
I think for me also, when I read this, it also makes me realize that scattering is more than, it's telling the gospel, right? But it also, for me, implies the fact that everything I do needs to reflect Christ. Everything. Because I never know what part of what I'm doing or whatever happens, that somebody's not going to see that in a way that starts to plant a seed in their lives.
Yeah, that's right.
So it makes it for me a little broader than, I mean, it is sharing the good news, the euangelion.
Yep.
But in addition to that, it's like always be alert to how you act and how you treat people.
Our mutual friend Kent, who we were talking about during the break, I heard him give a devotional the other night, and he talked about those that go deep with Jesus are those that have come to the end of themselves. And I relate that to what you're saying from the standpoint of we're all in, as Doug likes to say. And so that not only are we speaking the message with our mouths, but we're reflecting Christ in our life and how we act. And we do that by coming to the end of ourselves, coming to the end of our agenda and taking up Jesus' agenda and taking up Jesus himself. And now, do I do that perfectly? Of course not. I don't. But that's what you're striving for.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm glad you said that. I like what Doug said, too, that when we share the euangelion, we rest, meaning we share it lovingly, boldly, accurately is important. We pray for people, we answer their questions, but we can rest at that point in terms of worrying about the result.
Right, right.
That God is responsible for the result. And there may be times when we do all those things faithfully and God chooses not to grow. And that's difficult, but that's up to him.
That's right. I think about the couple of analogies. It makes me realize I'm not a salesman trying to close a deal. Mm. But yet I am an ambassador trying to convey the most important message that anybody could ever hear.
Right.
Frankly, if you've been involved in any sort of the evangelistic outreaches and stuff, you begin to feel like a salesman at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how many did you close today?
Yeah. I think this parable really changes the thought process on that.
Exactly.
And it does take the pressure off, and it does mean that and I'm not downing, you know, altar calls and things like that, because it's
right.
That
God moves in those.
Yeah, God does that. But our focus is to be on the sharing with people and the living and being an example to people and then letting God do that work, right? And not focusing on, if we hear of somebody who's come to faith, of course, that's great, but we don't have to focus on the numbers and be preoccupied with that, right?
Right.
God will take care of that.
We celebrate that because the angels in heaven are
absolutely
singing for joy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, as usual, the hour is flying by. We're coming to our last break here on SWAT Radio. We're going to take that and come back for our last segment where we'll wrap up our discussion of this passage. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question about anything we've talked about this week, 844-777-7928, and we will be right back after the break on SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Nicholas at 91.7.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Craig Henderson wrapping up the week here on SWAT Radio. We're in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34, and we've been looking at these three short parables that Jesus tells in this passage, the parable of the lamp under a basket, should maybe more appropriately titled, Don't Put the Lamp Under the Basket.
That's right.
The parable of the seed growing, and those two parables kind of talking about our responsibility as followers of Jesus and as children of Jesus to spread the seed of the gospel, but the second parable teaching that God is responsible for that seed growing, for faith growing in individuals after they hear the gospel. And then the third parable is the parable of the mustard seed, Craig, that you read, and this is a great parable as well, and Doug pointed out some things I thought were really interesting about this parable, but anything in particular about this particular parable jump out at you?
I think this kind of falls in the category of why parables are parables. That, you know, the fact that he used in the very latter part of that, he said, you know, that the tree puts out large branches so that birds of the air can come nest in the shade. And, you know, those are references to Old Testament scriptures, particularly out of, I think it's Daniel and Ezekiel, where that the Jews who would have heard that would understand those are references that really used things like birds as analogies for various nations beyond just the Jewish people.
Right.
And that making their nests and everything says that really the gospel is going to be spreading beyond just the Jewish people.
Yep.
And it's always interesting how, and they would have seen that in this analogy about the tree having branches that birds made their nests in.
And of course, a lot of Jews would have been upset about that.
Offended, yes.
And offended about that.
The religious leaders for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I like the fact that Doug pointed that out. I don't often think about it this way, but it did stand out to me in his teaching about really thinking about that this all started with one carpenter.
Yeah.
And then went to 12 disciples, and then went to maybe 70 followers, and then 120 followers, and then 3,000 converted on Pentecost, and then to Samaria, Philippi, Corinth, Ephesus, Rome, Europe, Scotland, England, the United States, China, India, Japan. I mean, it's the, think about the beginning of it. And I probably heard this at some point, but the mustard seed is the size of a flake of pepper.
Right. A pepper flake. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And then it becomes what you described and what the parable described. And in the same way, this movement, if you will.
Yeah. I guess right.
Started with Jesus, and he had 12 guys around him, and look at what it has become, and it will not be stopped.
That's exactly right.
Satan is trying to, unbelievers are trying to, but God will accomplish, and he's going to, and it's crazy, it is a crazy thought, a hard one to get your head around, that there are a specific number of people that will be brought in, and God will accomplish this until that's done. Wild thought.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I know one of the things that I think Doug asks if we're encouraged by this, and that, you know, in the American church, you know, that we live in a culture where, or a society, I guess is a better term, where the culture is having huge influences on the church itself, on people's lives, not in a good way. Mm-hmm. And yet, worldwide, Christianity is still spreading all over the place in places like Africa.
Yes, correct. In China.
Impressive countries like Iran and
Iraq.
Yes.
Underground churches all over the place, yeah.
And those are places where it's life-threatening to make a decision for Christ.
Yes.
Life-threatening to make a decision for Christ.
Yep. Great reminder.
And that in those areas, the fact that it is really, truly good news, euangelion, to people that have, life transformational.
Yep. You know?
Yeah. And it's one of the things that really struck me about this is the fact that it really is, it's so much bigger than what we can see from our own little world or perspective.
Yeah, glad you mentioned that. That's a great point. We tend to think of, things are going downhill in our country, which they are in many ways.
Sure. Yeah.
But God is not done, and we're not seeing firsthand, what's happening in these other countries like you're talking about. And I know the gospel is exploding in some of these countries. So, well, in our remaining few minutes here, thinking about these parables, what are your thoughts on what do they teach us about God, about ourselves, and most importantly, how can we be different because we've studied this passage?
I think if I look at the, what does it teach me about God? And is that, I think that the, I think, you know, Doug used the term the gospel is unstoppable, and that, you know, if you look at these, we're really, of the three parables, we're the ones that just got to make sure the lamp sits up on a stand.
Right.
You know, we do that, and all of the rest of this happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
If, as long as, so even though there's three parables, ours is really the first one.
Correct.
Right? Ours is the fact that we put the lamp on a stand, you know, and that's our scattering of the seed. God does what he's going to do with it. And then in this third one, the mustard seed, we begin to see what part of what he's doing with it is this enormous tree.
That's right.
Where all birds build their nests, or nations around the world, or people around the world come to him.
Yeah. And that the parable of God growing the seed, he did that in us before we could become the lamps, right? He, somebody else was the lamp to us.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And God did that with us. And you're right. I just thought about what it teaches me about him, first of all, is that he's just so gracious to include us in this huge story, this story that is so much bigger than us, and that all of this is preliminary to what's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
When heaven, the new heaven and the new earth will be eternal, and all of this, all of the people that are being brought in will be part of the perfected kingdom, or as our pastor likes to say, the church triumphant, right? And that God didn't have to include us in this, but that he went through all of what he went through with Jesus, went through all of what he went through. The Father went through the pain of having to turn his back on Jesus to give us a place in the family and in the kingdom, and not just a place, but a role, as in the first parable, that to put the lamp on the stand and to be part of it, and that somehow he equips us with the spiritual truth mentioned in the first parable and gives us understanding, and then is faithful to grow the seed that we scatter. So, I think sometimes I get caught up in my life and don't think enough about the big picture.
It's easy. It is easy. I find the same. I have the same thing happen. You think about, okay, like, you know, whatever happened this past week, or what I've got on my calendar for this weekend or next week and stuff. And those become focal points for me of, you know, I have time for this. Don't I have time for that? What have I got to say yes to or no to and stuff. And yet in this, you know, God is just calling us to be faithful to him,
mm-hmm.
faithful to him in whatever it is we're doing. And it's not, you know, it's not me carving out time and saying, this is my little section for time with Jesus, and this is my time for work or whatever. It's Jesus is in all of it.
Yes, right. That moment by moment, to use that phrase Kent used, we come to the end of ourselves and we just say, we're just with Jesus. And remembering that God has included us in his family and declared us not guilty, and not just not guilty, but righteous, and therefore isn't disappointed with us, isn't angry with us, even despite our flaws and failures, that it's not about our performance. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we aren't to be, as you said, vigilant about how we live, wanting to get it right, studying, all of that, but it's not about our performance. It's about our following Jesus. And God is happy with us because this is his beloved son with whom he's well pleased, and we're in him.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, how can we live differently, or what's the so what takeaway from all this in our last couple minutes?
Well, I think that it's for me, it's more about how I grow my relationship with Christ. Because if I'm putting the lamp on a stand, I've got to really know the lamp really well.
Mm.
And then if it's going to happen in my life all the time, whether it's, you know, in whatever context I'm in, whether it's work or dinner with somebody or anything, you know, I need to be able to reflect that relationship with him all the time.
Mm.
And so that's probably my takeaway, because God does the rest of that.
Yeah.
God will do the rest.
Right. Right.
I got to be able to share the gospel.
Yeah. Mine is similar. And again, it goes back to, I like Doug's phrase, you know, put God on display.
Yeah.
And that's very similar to what you're talking about, and similar to this parable. Keep the lamp, Christ himself, his truth, out in the open, on a stand, so that people can see it and know that we're different, and just be, you know, be more aware of it and intentional and conscious of it, because too many days, you said this earlier, I get up and I think, all right, here's what I have to do today. And my calendar is about work. It's about, you know, family stuff. It's about paying bills. It's about whatever it is. And those things are all okay. They're necessary. But what's my attitude toward them? And do I consider them compartmentalized, or